your Bibles this evening, if you will, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. We are continuing our study through the first Psalm. We're going to go ahead and read that Psalm. Last time I tried responsive reading, it didn't go so well, so I'll read all six Psalms and you follow along with me tonight. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I first started studying this out, I thought for sure I would cover verses 1 and 2, and we did that in one night, and then we went to verse 3. And then I thought I'd cover verses 4 and 5, but we're not going to get all the way to verse 5 tonight. I really want to look at this idea of verse 4, this idea of chaff, which the wind drives away. When I was in the Navy, there were many times where I would be in the CIC. That's the Combat Information Center. That is the hub of the ship when things are happening. And so when we were there, you had two comms or communication channels that I had access to. One was down to the weapon system, the guns that were down in a different place altogether. But the other one was an intercom that was in the entire combat information center. The whole CIC was on this one. You didn't talk unless you were spoken to, in a sense. And you could always say, there's somebody called the TAO. There's initials for everything in the Navy. I want you to know that. It was a tactical action officer. And he's always barking out commands or he's demanding updates on things. And one station that I was always listening for was something called the Electronic Warfare Specialists, the EWs. They're the ones that could tell you if a radar was tracking you or locked on to your ship, and then you could hear what they were doing about it to see if the countermeasures were working or not. But I remember once we were threading our way through the Straits of Hormuz. That's right near Iran. And it's a perilous spot. Many times Iran has attacked different shipping or the ships that are for the shipping going through this very narrow place. And I remember that the radio men had reported to the TAO that the Iranians had accused us of being in violation of their territorial waters. Now, that's not a good place to be. The electronic warfare specialists were busy hitting buttons. They were turning knobs. And I heard the report come over saying that we've been painted. And what that means is simply that there's an active radar that's trying to lock on to our ship. Basically, the entire command center went quiet except for this shrill electronic noise that every person in that room knows what it means. It means that there's been a radar that is locked on to your ship. Somebody reported that says we're hot, and that just means that we're in somebody's crosshairs. I was convinced that we were reduced to the coordinates on a targeting screen somewhere off the Iranian coast right there. The whole ship at that moment went dark. Now, not intentionally. It wasn't something that we call darkened ship. I mean, the generator had literally been cooked in the desert sun. And so we had no idea what was going to happen next. I can honestly say that's one of the most stressful times in my life. And I began praying that the communications, at least with the Iranians, would help them to realize we were dead in the water. The propulsion system, everything. We were probably getting closer to their territorial waters, whatever it was. But here we were with a hostile locked on, with their weapon systems, and we were completely defenseless. And so in those few stress-filled moments, I was praying, and the Lord really taught me something in that moment, that my confidence was in the EWs, more than it was in the Lord. And I was looking for a way for them to use some of the countermeasures. I'm going to tell you what one of those are in just a moment, rather than trust the Lord to help us to get through what he could much more effectively than any electronic warfare specialist. I was looking and hoping in their ability to outsmart the Iranian missile. Now, obviously, I'm still here. Praise the Lord. I don't know what happened with the communications. I know eventually we got enough limping power to get into port somewhere to work on the generators. As a matter of fact, we went through three or four generators that entire cruise, and it ended up looking like one of those semi-truck beds just sitting on the back of the it looked like we were a moving company is what it looked like, all right? One of the weapons that the EWs have at their disposal is something called chaff. Military chaff consists of these tiny strips of metallic material, and they're designed to confuse radar signals. They're harmless in themselves, but they're highly, highly reflective. And so what happens when a missile is launched, those get shot out into the air, and the ship moves away from them, and the missile will see that as the ship, and it will punch right through it and hopefully go right into the water and not into the ship. It's meant to grab the attention of an incoming missile. And so it looks like just long metal strips of confetti that are shot in the air, and they just slowly make their way down to the water. What I want you to get from that story is not just where are you placing your confidence, but I understand that that confetti, that chaff, the military chaff, has something in common with the chaff that we're going to read about here in Psalm 1. Once it's shot out, once it's up in the air, it's gone forever. It's impossible to gather back. It's worthless. Nobody went fishing for chaff in the water after it had been shot. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the path of the godly, verse 1. One and two. Last week we looked at the prosperity of the godly, Psalm 1:3. But tonight I want to start looking at the peril of the ungodly, and I don't think we'll get any further than verse 4. So we've seen the beautiful picture of the blessed man. This is a man that is like a tree that's been planted by the rivers of water, producing fruit in his season. We've read that it's maintaining his vitality regardless of the circumstances, and experiencing God's favor and his blessings in his life. And that's what we saw in the first half of this psalm. It's a picture of stability, productivity, beauty, and divine blessing. But the psalmist here is now making a turn. Having shown us the prosperity of the godly, he's now going to reveal the peril of the ungodly. And the contrast could not be more dramatic. Where we had depth, now we'll have shallowness. Where we had substance, we're going to discover emptiness, vanity. Where we had permanence, we're going to see transience. Nothing is stable. Where we had fruitfulness, we're going to see barrenness. And where we see divine favor, we're going to witness, when we get to verse 5, divine judgment. The psalmist begins verse 4 with three simple words. Well, four. The ungodly are not. The ungodly are not. These words really serve as a hinge, just like on a door. And in this psalm, it's a turning point. It shifts our attention from the blessings of the one that is planted by the rivers of water to the ones that are ungodly and have rejected truth. It goes from life to death, from hope to despair. The words here are not so, it really means not like this. It carries this idea. It's a complete negation of everything that has just been described about the blessed man. So take everything that God has said in the first three verses, and that is what he is saying is not about the ungodly. The exact opposite. They experience the exact opposite reality. Where the godly are planted, the ungodly are uprooted. Where the godly are nourished, the ungodly are starving to death. Where the godly are productive, the ungodly, we said, are barren. And where the godly prosper, the ungodly are perishing. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, like that chaff. You know, to understand the devastating nature of this comparison, you have to understand what chaff is. I told you a little bit about what military chaff looks like. But when you understand what chaff is, you'll understand why the psalmist chose this particular metaphor. You know, in an agricultural world, they would have understood in this day, but I think we need to understand it a little bit ourselves. The process of separating grain from chaff was familiar, almost a daily reality that everyone understood. When grain was harvested, it came mixed in with the chaff, the dry, these almost like papery husks around the kernel that surrounded and protected the kernel during the growth. So to separate this valuable grain from this worthless outer shell, if you will, the farmers would take their harvest to a threshing floor, right? You hear, read about the threshing floor all through the Old Testament. And typically, they would put it on a hilltop where the wind would be strong, where it would be consistent. And there's a couple of ways that they would winnow the grain with flails, or they would have something where they beat on it. Sometimes they would let oxen walk around on it. Anything to break that husk and break that outer shell from the kernel. Then came the winnowing process. They would use a winnowing fork or a shovel, and what they would do is they would get under it and they would just kind of throw it in the air. And all those husks and the shells of the outside, that which is called chaff, that wind would just blow away. And then all the kernels of wheat that was what they wanted, it would fall right back down to the ground. You do that enough times and that chaff gets blown away, and what you have is something that is useful, the valuable grain. The idea of this chaff refers specifically to this dry, brittle, worthless material. It has no substance, has no weight, no value. It was utterly useful. It couldn't be eaten. It couldn't be planted. It couldn't be sold. It couldn't be used for any productive purpose at all. Its only destiny was to be blown away and forgotten about. I want to look at some characteristics of chaff tonight. And I want to make sure that our life does not resemble chaff, something that is worthless and weightless. As a matter of fact, the first thing I want you to see tonight is chaff is rootless. The first thing you need to know about chaff is that it has no root. That's why God uses it to describe the ungodly. This chaff, this has no root, no life, no nourishment. There's nothing about it that is enticing. It's an empty shell of something that never amounted to anything. It's the useless part that gets blown away when the wind picks up. You know, a tree, it sinks its roots deep into the ground. It draws strength from the river, but chaff, it's just dead weight, waiting to be carried off somewhere. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's people today that look like they've got it all. They've got money in the bank. They might have a familiar name in the community. I've known some people that look like when they walk around, they own the place. And some of them did, probably. But spiritually, they were just chaff. They have no connection to the living God through Jesus Christ. They've got no taproot down to the Word of God. Their souls are starving while they feed their physical body, their flesh. Listen, don't ever be fooled by somebody that has a nice car in the driveway and some nice clothes on their back. Don't be fooled by someone that has an ability to, what I call a smooth talker, okay? I think that is easy for us that are trying to be planted by the river of water, to be feeding off the word, to look out at the world and say, why am I struggling when it looks like the ungodly are prospering? Now, we're not in that psalm, but there's psalms that talk about that. But understand, what you see on the outside oftentimes is just that husk, but inside there is no grain of wheat. There is nothing. It's a dangerous way to live. And I'll tell you what's worse, it's a deadly way to die without Christ. You see, you can tie yourself to every worldly success this side of eternity. But if you're not anchored to the truth of God's word, if you're drifting, then you're no better than a cut flower. And it might look nice for a couple of days, but you know the end of that. It's bright today, but gone tomorrow. You know what I've thought is that rootless people are aimless people. They don't have a purpose. Sometimes their purpose is accumulation, trying to get more. You can ask a rich person, how much more do you need? I think it was Andrew Carnegie that said just a little bit more. They're not ever satisfied. They don't know where they're going. And I'll tell you this, they're not going to like where they end up. The ungodly's man, the ungodly man's beliefs, they change with the wind, just like chaff. His values depend on the crowd that he's with. His choices are ruled by not character, not principles, but they're ruled by impulse. But the man or woman that is really pursuing God, that is like that tree planted by the rivers of water, they're going to stand on God's word. They're going to have convictions that don't shift with popular opinion. It doesn't matter what the paper comes out and says about a certain topic, what the poll numbers are, because only one vote matters, and that's what God said in his word. And by the way, the one that's planted is planted on the rock. And when the storm comes, and those storms will come, but they'll remain standing. Chaff is rootless, but chaff is also weightless. It doesn't have any heft to it. Grain has substance. You can feel it in your hand. You can store it. You can grind it. You can live off of grain. But chaff, it's just fluff. There's nothing to it. It looks like something, but it amounts to nothing. That's exactly what the ungodly man is like. He makes a splash in the world, but when God weighs him on the scales of eternity, I'm going to tell you, he doesn't move the needle at all. I think it was one of the Persian rulers, I forgot his name right off, but God says he found him wanting. That's exactly what it's talking about here in Psalm 1. This idea of weight carries with it the means of worth, okay? It's the word sometimes we use for glory. It literally means heaviness. It speaks of something that matters, something that is solid, something that's going to last. And I hope you understand this. A man can be heavy, weighted in the world's eyes with money, power, degrees, applause from other men. But if they don't know God, if they don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that man or woman is nothing more than chaff in the wind. No weight, no substance, no glory, not recognizing God's glory. I read this week about a British naval officer, Alan Francis Gardiner. He founded a mission society in Patagonia in 1844. And what I read, he had a tireless labor and sacrifice. But despite all of that, he and his six co-workers died without one single convert. I think when the world looks on, they say, what a wasted life. He seemed to have no impact during his life. But later, his sacrifice inspired something called the South American Missionary Society. And they reached scores of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so on the world scales, Gardner's life, it looked weightless. There's no fruit. There's no visible result. But in God's economy, that faithfulness is what became heavy, what became fruitful and enduring. Sometimes we're looking for that spotlight. in the moment. Don't expect it. Don't look for it. But be faithful. Sometimes those in the spotlight, they lack the true weight on the scale that God uses to judge eternity. You know what I've noticed? It seems like the ungodly man talks loud, but his words ring hollow. Where there's no lack of loud talking in our society today. I went into an app on my phone, and I could spend the rest of my life just listening to all the podcasts that were produced today. Just today. I wouldn't want to, but I'm saying I could. There's all these voices out there, but their words are hollow. Somebody like that, sometimes they make promises, but you can't bank on them. You ever had somebody promise you something, as soon as they said it, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. They might get a platform, they might consider themselves an influencer, but that platform, I'm going to tell you, is built on sand. It's not built on the rock. And they're climbing a ladder that leans against the wrong wall. There's no eternal value in their life. No spiritual, what I would call gravitas. There's nothing there. There's no weight. And one day when the judgment winds blow, they're going to blow out just like smoke. My friend, don't you ever envy the wicked. Don't chase their kind of success. You may never have what they have in the world's eyes. You may never have the applause of men, but you've got something they don't. If you're like that tree planted near the rivers of water, and that taproot is going down to the Word of God, you've got weight, spiritual weight. A godly man speaks the truth, and God uses that to cut deep into the hearts and souls of men. He offers help that is consistent with God's word, that is a help to those that help people to get through difficult times. That person is going to leave a mark on eternity that God will see and recognize. What about the ungodly man? He can't nourish a soul. He can't offer shelter. He won't build anything that lasts. He's here today, he's gone tomorrow, and forgotten about next week. Chaff is worthless. Not only is it have no weight, and not only is it rootless, but is worthless. It's weightless and worthless. Grain can feed a family. People plant grain. Grain can be planted tomorrow for more grain, right? It can be sold, it can be traded, it can be ground down, it can feed your family. But chaff isn't good for anything. There's no use for chaff. I say that, but then somebody's going to come back and say, well, we found a way to put it in a dog food or something like that. You can't eat it, you can't plant it, you can't build with it. The only thing you can do with chaff is throw it away or burn it up. That's it. And that's exactly what God says is about to happen in the ungodly life. Strip away all the polish, all the press, the praise of men, and what do you have? Nothing of eternal value. I think about in my lifetime, people that have reached the apex of celebrity, those that have climbed the ladder of success. I don't remember who said it, but I remember a quote that said, I wish somebody would have told me when I reached the top that there was nothing there. I think of all those that thought they had gained something and realized everything they've been living for is worthless, and they ended their life. That's horrible. There's no root. Everything to live for, all that energy, all that ambition, all that talent poured into a life and never bowed down their knee to Christ is wasted. It is completely wasted. I mean, people spend their entire lives chasing after things that will not matter 5 seconds after they're dead. Big houses, big names, big crowds, but not after God. I mean, to me, you might as well build a mansion out of cardboard and set it on fire. At least you have something to watch burn down. But they think they've built something of substance. And it might look impressive on the outside, but when eternity comes, it's not going to stand. It'll be washed away. You know, the saddest thing is, he's not just wasting his work, he's wasting his life. God made him for something far greater. God gave him a soul that could walk with him. A mind that can grasp truth. A heart that can love righteousness and pursue God. But people trade that for a few years of applause until they fill that plot in the grave. Somebody once said he's like a Stradivarius violin used to pound nails. Used, or made for music, used for mayhem. Don't live your life and die with nothing to show for it. It's not about the amount of diplomas on your wall or how many people clap when you get up to stand to speak or how many zeros you have in your bank account. I have a ton of zeros. They're just all on the wrong side of the decimal. Life without Christ is a life without value. It's wasted. Wasted. Wasted time. Wasted potential. Wasted eternity. The worthlessness of chaff also means it contributes nothing positive to the environment in which it lives. Will a tree provide shade, beauty, oxygen, fruit? Chaff offers nothing beneficial. In that same way, the ungodly person's life, while it may not be actively evil, may not be trying to spread evil in this world, it contributes nothing to the spiritual well-being to those around them. They don't provide wisdom for guidance or hope for encouragement or an example to show others how to get through life in a way that pleases God. Let me give you one last thought on chaff. It is easily blown away. I think this is the most sobering of them all. It's easily scattered and quickly destroyed. It does not take a tornado to move chaff. Now, I remember several months ago when Helene came and we had all those trees down. You find it surprising when a tree is toppled down from the roots. You don't go, oh, I was expecting that. No, that's surprising because usually trees are well-grounded with the root system that they have. But no one says, wow, I'm so surprised that chaff was blown out into the wind. No, you expect that. The lightest breeze and it's gone. One little puff of wind and that worthless husk is lifted off the threshing floor and never seen again. You know what you don't do? You don't go looking for chaff. You don't gather it back. Once it's gone, usually you're glad and it's gone for good. That's exactly what the Bible is saying when it says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That idea of driving away doesn't mean gently nudged. It means violently scattered. It's gone. Blown apart. Torn from where it was and never, ever recovered. What's God doing here? He's painting a picture of the utter instability of a man or a woman who rejects him. You know, what are the winds that drive the ungodly away today? Sometimes it's the winds of adversity. Troubles come, pressures mount, life comes at us hard sometimes. And because the ungodly man has no roots, he's not anchored to Christ. He's not anchored in truth. He's swept away. And the same storm that strengthens the godly destroys the ungodly. Do you understand that? It's the same storms. Sometimes it's the wind of temptation. The devil dangles some shiny new trinket, and without a backbone, not anchored to Scripture, and not an ounce of ballast of spiritual conviction, the ungodly man follows the path of least resistance. He falls, he folds, he drifts. I think the scariest thing of all about chaff is the wind, is the idea that it's going to be blown away in judgment. The farmer doesn't wait for a breeze. You say, well, he builds it on a hill, and that breeze is supposed to come in, but what happens when it doesn't? He has a fan. He creates that breeze to blow that chaff away. He takes that fan in his hand and he separates the wheat from the chaff, and one day that's exactly what God is going to do. One day he'll deliberately and righteously judge this world, and the righteous will shine like the sun, but the wicked, blown away, separated from God for all eternity. Don't live a life, friends, that is scattered by the winds. Anchor yourself to God through His Word. Get planted in Christ. Get serious about your walk with God. Because one day the wind is coming. And when it blows, you better be more than chaff. Let me try to wind us all together here. The contrast between the tree and the chaff could not be more clear. And by the way, I don't think it can be any more convicting either. One is planted, anchored, established, alive. One is scattered, loose, lifeless. It's lost. One has roots sunk deep into the living water. The other has no roots at all. One draws strength from a never-ending source. And the other has no source, no nourishment, no future. The tree, it bears fruit. It gives life. It stands tall. And its leaves don't wither. Not in drought, not in heat, not in hardship. But chaff has already dried up. Dead before the wind even touches it. The tree prospers in all that it does, because it's rooted in the will and the Word of God. But the chaff, it gets blown away by the faintest breeze. You say, what's the difference between these two? And I'll tell you the biggest difference. One is living for eternity, and the other is living for time. It's a difference between building your life on the rock of ages or building it on the sand of the world. The godly man is going to invest in those things that never die. He plants his life in truth, but the ungodly spends their life chasing shadows, thinking that they're accomplishing something, thinking that they're going to finally get what they've been longing for. Truth is, you tonight may look like everyone else. You can sit in church. You can sing the hymns. You can do what we call play church or go through the motions. But when God sends the wind of judgment, we'll look at that next week, Lord willing, you better be more than just chaff. You better be rooted in Christ, planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit that remains. God's not going to judge by outward appearance. But maybe some of you are struggling right now on which direction to point your life. And you hear that siren call of the world. Whether that's money or fame or popularity or some platform, I don't know. But God here is warning you. He sees around the corner that you can't. And He's saying, make your life worth something. And He gives us a stark warning when we pursue what the world calls value. Nothing but chaff. Let's make sure we have our life built on the Word of God, and you'll be a blessed man. Next time, Lord willing, we'll look at verse 6, or 5, excuse me. We'll talk about what it means to stand in the judgment. That sounds perilous. It says the ungodly are not going to stand in the judgment. I thought they were going to stand in the judgment. We'll talk about that next week. Let's take some prayer requests this week.